This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight:
what is a problem for Congolese is an opportunity for some Rwandans who run internet sharing businesses.
That's Eugene Wimana reporting from the Rwanda-DRC border. Details coming up.
Also, Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir rejects calls for him to step down, and Ugandans are worried that the national debt might be growing too fast.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
The Election Commission in the DRC is set to release provisional election results 10 days after the contentious, repeatedly delayed general election. But at this point, after weeks of mounting tension over delays, the results of this pivotal poll may be beside the point. Riot police began to gather outside Election Commission headquarters in Kinshasa this afternoon as officials who had met overnight promised an announcement of provisional results within 48 hours. In usually bustling Kinshasa, shops are shuttered. Provisional results were originally due several days ago, but officials said they are still counting ballots from the December 30th poll. And for an update on the presidential poll and results in the DRC, we go live to our colleague Anastasi Tudiesi in Kinshasa. And thanks for joining us, Anastasi.
Hi.
Yes, thank you so much. Can you tell us what is the latest? What is going on right now?
Well, the tension is mounting, but in a very quiet way. People fled the downtown, so the traffic is pretty fluid. And if you didn't know, if you weren't told this was a very special day, you couldn't guess from Congolese people's attitude. I've called each party, and everybody is serene. Everybody is waiting, waiting for the results.
Yes. Also, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes.
Now, I'm just going to ask you: the largest opposition party, they're claiming that its leader is the presumed winner. So, how is this adding to tension?
Not only are they claiming it, but they are already celebrating it. In their headquarters, around their headquarters, people gathered. Hundreds of young people are celebrating, chanting, dancing that they won here in Kinshasa.
Also, I understand there are soldiers who are situated throughout the country there. Are they expecting violence?
Well, I wouldn't say. I mean, I've been driving around Kinshasa, and the only places I have seen police gathered is before the outside the parliament and outside the CENI. So I wouldn't say that police is everywhere. They are gathered on very special places so far.
And also, do you expect that the results will, in fact, be released this afternoon?
I can confirm. I had this confirmation from people from the CENI that the results will be known today. That's what I was told half an hour ago.
Okay. And what is any word from President Joseph Kabila at this point?
Not one so far.
Okay, so you say the shops there have been closed down and shuttered. So what are people in the streets saying? I know you said a lot of them are already celebrating the opposition's their claim to win. So what are other people saying?
Other people are way more cautious. They are simply waiting. They are hoping for change. They keep repeating that they want change and they are hoping for change. But they are also, you know, very, very cautious. And they say that anything can happen in this country. And they are very, very scared that these elections might be rigged. So really, people are not comfortable sharing one thing or another. They are just waiting. And that's what they keep saying. We'll wait.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for this update. And that's our colleague Anastasi Tudiesi speaking to us live from Kinshasa.
As the vote counting drags on in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the government has shut down the internet, saying it wants to avoid the spread of destabilizing rumors. But many Congolese say without the internet, their businesses are paralyzed. They urge the National Independent Electoral Commission to announce the results quickly or reopen the internet. But in Rwanda, residents of the town of Rubavu say they are doing a booming business sharing the internet with Congolese clients. Eugene Uimana has traveled on the Rwanda-DRC border and files this report.
Congolese nationals crowd this Rubavu cyber cafe. They pay 100 Rwandan francs or about 11 US cents for 15 minutes of internet time. They are willing to pay the fee, they say, because they have urgent business to do on the internet. Jerome Utembo says he owns a cyber cafe in the DRC, but he came in Rwanda to do his work.
Kukata internet.
He says his business is dying in these days in Congo. He says he thinks their leaders should look for other ways to prevent people from disseminating lies about the results, but let people freely use the internet. In this growing world, internet has become a life. If it goes on, we risk dying of hunger. The internet outage affects education too. Johnny Kakile is a university student. He says he and other students who can afford it are relying on the Rwandan internet to conduct their research. Kakile says now many people are using the internet from Rwanda. It is a bit difficult because you can't access it anytime you want. And it is not everybody who can afford to use it. It is really discouraging. What is a problem for Congolese is an opportunity for some Rwandans who run internet sharing businesses. Gracia Muthoni lives in Rubavu. She says here in Rubavu, the Congolese crisis brought us bread. Look now, they come for many for internet. To shut internet for them became a way of doing good business. But she says, we don't wish bad for them. May God protect them. They are our relatives. Regarding today's problems, Congolese say they have two options to the government: to bring back the internet or release quickly the election results. These people are saying they want the results to be given very quickly for us to know the new president we voted for and continue our businesses peacefully. They are surprised at how the dates for releasing the results keep on changing, and they need to know who is the president so they can relax. The current president, Joseph Kabila, who has been in the office since 2001, was barred from running in this election, which should lead to the DRC's first democratic transfer of power. Voting on December 30th was mostly peaceful. However, many Congolese fear that a disputed result could spark unrest, as was the case after 2006 and 2011 elections. Eugene Uimana for VOA News on Rwanda DRC border.
Rwanda's National Public Prosecution Authority has withdrawn its appeal against the acquittal of Diane Wagara and her mother, Adeline Wagara. Last month, the prosecutor general said his office would appeal the high court decision to acquit the two on all charges against them. Today, the prosecution spokesperson said the decision to drop the appeal was based on the advice of Justin Busingai, the minister of Wagara, ran in the 2017 presidential election, but was disqualified when officials said signatures on her application were forged. She was arrested in September 2017, charged with forgery and inciting insurrection for criticizing the government and President Paul Kagame. Her mother also was arrested. The court acquitted them on December 6th.
Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir today rejected calls for him to step down as thousands of his supporters rallied in Khartoum. A few miles away, however, in the city of Omdurman, police reportedly fired tear gas on thousands of anti-Bashir protesters. They were demanding that Bashir, who has led the country since 1989, resign. Protests have racked the country for weeks since the price of bread, fuel, and other necessities soared. Bashir told supporters today that he would only step down through election and his opponent should wait until 2020 elections to challenge him. He blamed the price rises and other economic problems on Western sanctions. Those sanctions were imposed on the government for its links to terrorism and abuses in the war against Darfur. However, many of those sanctions have been lifted in the past several months.
Some Ugandans are worried that the national debt might be growing too fast. Some civic organizations want government to pay more attention to its indebtedness by ensuring strict compliance with project timeliness and fighting corruption. Catherine Namby reports from Kampala.
According to a new report by Uganda's Auditor General, the ratio of current public debt to gross domestic product has increased to 41% from 35% in only 2 years. The auditor's office says that trend is worrying as it is headed towards the 50% international threshold. Keto Nyapendi Kayemba is the Deputy Auditor General.
We did a special audit on public debt, and we have concerns about the sustainability of debt. It is currently still sustainable, but if we go at the rate at which we are going, we need to be a bit careful. We are taking in more commercial loans. We are taking in more loans whose conditionalities are probably not very conducive for us as a developing country.
Civil society organizations say the increasing debt burden is likely to stifle government services in the near future, as a huge percentage of Uganda's budget will go pay the debt. Julius Mukunda is the chief executive director of the Civil Society Budget Advocacy Group.
The share of interest payments has actually increased. In this current financial which we are ending, it was taking the third largest share of the budget. Now the proposed budget is taking the second largest share of the entire budget. And now we are beginning to see the effect of the burden of the debt. As we get to spend more to service our loans, we are beginning to cut budgets for the social sectors, education, health, and others.
The Auditor General's report highlights that in the 2019-2020 financial year, 65% of Uganda's total revenue collection will be spent on debt service. Civic groups are even more worried about Uganda's growing debt to China. China currently holds about 15% of Uganda's debt, or about $1.6 billion. Most of it is in loans on infrastructure projects such as the Kampala-Entebbe Expressway and the expansion of Entebbe International Airport. Julius Kapwepwe is the director of Uganda Debt Network. He fears Uganda might be caught up in what some critics call China's debt trap, in which China has confiscated some countries' resources because they have failed to repay loans.
There has been precedence in the case of Zambia, in the case of Sri Lanka, the famous Hambantota harbor and port takeover. Is that too far away from East Africa, from Uganda, looking at these levels of debt that we are sustaining from China? We are alerting ourselves that we need to be more cautious, so that we trade carefully and we don't create more problems than we are actually trying to solve as the Ugandan economy.
The Uganda government maintains that its borrowing remains within the international sustainability threshold. Matia Kasaija is Uganda's finance minister.
Our debt is sustainable and its project remains sustainable in the medium to the long term. We are not careless, as some people alluded. For every loan, for every debt we acquire, there are a number of questions we ask us. We are very cautious. If we find that we are getting near the threshold, then we'll hold back.
As at the end of June 2018, Uganda's total public debt amounted to $10.7 billion. This is Catherine Namby for VOA News in Kampala.
South Africa's ruling African National Congress celebrated its anniversary this week by counting the party's successes in the past 25 years. But the ANC is battling with factionalism and corruption allegations against senior party members, which could affect its standing in upcoming May national elections. Tuso Kamala reports from Johannesburg.
In a speech for the 107th birthday of the ruling African National Congress Party Tuesday, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa touted the party's successes since independence.
Our economy has tripled in size over the last 25 years. 7 million more people are now employed today than they were employed in 1994. And we have taken bold steps to confront corruption.
The ANC was born December 8, 1912, in the little town of Bloemfontein. The party became famous for leaders like Nelson Mandela, who gave up his freedom to end apartheid South Africa's racial segregation and discrimination. But former ANC lawmaker Ben Turok says, a century later, the party of Mandela is a different organization.
A catch-up culture penetrated the movement. Catch-up. The whites had this, we want the same. And that catch-up led to many of the problems that we have today.
These problems include the ANC's mismanagement of the state-owned enterprises, over 25% unemployment, inequality, corruption, and a divided party. The ANC split last year between supporters of President Cyril Ramaphosa and disgraced former President Jacob Zuma after Zuma was forced to resign over corruption allegations. Political analyst Theo Fenter says the ANC is not in the best shape as the country heads towards May national elections.
One can clearly see the fault lines in the ANC, factions talking about each other as factions. I think there's a far more urgent need for discussion, because I think the pushback from the Zuma side in the ANC is threatening the unity.
Although the ANC has received the majority of votes in every election since independence, the winning margins have been gradually decreasing. Opposition parties are hoping to take advantage of ANC's waning support, including in its biggest support base, KwaZulu-Natal province. The Democratic Alliance Party leader in KwaZulu-Natal, Zwakele Mncwango, says the ANC is at its weakest moment.
The main mission for us is to drop the ANC below 50%. We've seen it's possible.
Political analyst Tinyiko Maluleke says, although the ANC will no doubt win the coming elections, the party will no longer be able to rely solely on its liberation credentials. South Africans are now demanding services like clean water and electricity.
I think the more serious challenge is that perhaps the ANC has not managed to facilitate service delivery to the extent that the ANC as a party has been promising.
At the anniversary celebrations this week, the ANC sought to give an image of a confident and unified party. Ramaphosa was side by side with Zuma and told the nation their comradeship is still at its best. How much that translates into reversing the party's downward trend will become clear with the May elections. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
A South African judge today ruled that detention of Mozambique's former finance minister on a U.S. extradition request is legal. Manuel Chang is being held on U.S. charges of wire fraud and money laundering. Yesterday, Chang's lawyers argued in a Johannesburg court that his detention is illegal. Chang was finance minister from 2005 to 2015. In 2013 and 2014, state-owned companies secretly borrowed $2 billion from foreign lenders, eventually plunging the country into a financial crisis. British authorities have arrested three former employees of the Credit Suisse Investment Bank on charges related to the cases. The United States also wants them to be extradited for trial in New York.
Teachers in Zimbabwe are pressuring the government to pay them in U.S. dollars instead of the surrogate currency called the bond notes. This comes against the background of rising inflation and an increase for foreign currency in the market. Reporter Kutsai Svinavashi has details.
Zimbabwe schools opened this week at the end of the Christmas holidays, as usual, with teachers present for work. However, some teachers have been partially striking to register their demands to be paid in US dollars. Raymond Majongwe is the Secretary General of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe.
We have encouraged our PTZ members to go to work, apparently because we have a legal framework that we have to work with. So we said to our members, go to work 2 days per week to prove that you are incapacitated.
Teachers sing a song that says, "Remember the time you left teachers crying." Most of the teachers belong to the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union. Robson Chere is the Secretary General for the union.
Right now it's raining, as you can see. We are in the open to show that our issues are genuine. We are going to walk protesting to office of the Minister of Finance, which is Mr. Mthuli Ncube's offices. Our grievances are simple. We just want our salaries to be paid in United States dollars.
Chere says they have been having sit-ins outside the minister's office since Monday. He adds that the membership has withdrawn their labor and decided not to show up for work. In December, the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union members walked over 250 kilometers to make their demands known. Student Winona Masunda says she finds the strike worrying.
With the teachers gone, it kind of puts us in a situation where we are now confused. We don't know what's going on and how it's going to affect our grades at the end of the year.
Parent Beverly Majambe says teachers are justified.
I think it's good. They have to strike so that the government can sort out the issue of prices going up and prices changing every day. Some shops are already selling their products in Forex. The life actually has become so hard. Zimbabwe is in a mess. We cannot continue to live like this.
In the past few months, the cost of living has increased, with most prices of commodities increasing by fourfold. As such, teachers' salaries, like those of most government workers, have been massively eroded. Chere says teachers earn just below $300 in bond notes after all tax deductions, but that money is equivalent to only 90 US dollars in the black market. Chere urges other workers to join in, as the teachers' financial challenges are universal. As demands for salary increases and payments in US dollars increase, the government says it is working on a counter-offer for the civil servants. However, it says it cannot pay any salaries in foreign currency. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinavashe from Harare.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Patrick Dea, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Anger over rising prices, shortages of bread and fuel, and a cash crisis has incited demonstrations across Sudan and against President Omar al-Bashir. Is Sudan in the precipice of change? An in-depth discussion on the politics of Sudan on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/Sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up!